Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 John, the first chapter, starting at verse 5. And I'll be reading through chapter 2, verse 6. And if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read. And I'm going to do my best today. I got new glasses yesterday, so everything's still looking a little funny. Some of y'all look pretty good. But everything, when I walk, everything moves, so I'm just getting used to that. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for the reading of Your word. And God, we pray today that God, You will show us what we need to do and how we need to walk, Lord, to be in fellowship with You and not to ever have that fellowship broken. Because God, You are precious to us and we love You, Father. And God, as I preach this message today, let every word come from You. Nothing from my thoughts or my flesh or own ideas, but every word from Your Holy Spirit. And let us hear from You today, dear God. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Secret sins in our life, things that we think that we are keeping hidden from God, is what separates us from the Lord. I've noticed in my life, and I've told you about times that, you know, that things I've done that, and I thought I was keeping things hidden from God. You know, I remember like when He wanted me to preach and I started to run away from that. I used to think that if I would go do other things, God would leave me alone. And, you know, God was always there. And God always protects us and God always wants to bless us. But if we have secret sin in our life, that will hinder the blessings and that will break the fellowship and the, not the covenant, but it will break the fellowship and the blessings that we have with the Lord. We do have a sin problem in this world today. We have gotten into a place. Now, I hear people say, boy, our kids are worse now than they ever were. I said, no, it ain't the fact that our kids are worse, and it ain't no fact that anybody else is worse. It's the fact that sin has become increasingly more rapid in our world today, and we are seeing a change in our cultures, and we are seeing how things are really turned about. But the Bible has said in the last days that these things would come about. But as Christian people, you and I are to live our lives holy and acceptable before the Lord in order to keep that fellowship with Him. Now, our sin problem that we have in this world It cannot be solved by man's intelligence. It cannot be solved by the environment. It can't be solved by our great engineers or these very smart scientists. The only way to solve our sin problem is to go back into the Bible, into the Word of God, and get the answers from there. I've always said, if you have a question, if you have something that is confusing you, if you turn to the well, if you pray and you ask God to show you where to go in the Word, God will reveal to you in His Word the answers that you're looking for. I can't tell you how many times I've been over the last 34 years of preaching. I have preached sermons over and over at times when the Lord has said, I want you to preach this again. And do you know that every time I've said, now, Lord, I'm going to preach the exact same way as I probably did the last time. And the Lord said, you leave that up to me. And you know, when I've gotten into the pulpit, I've preached the Word. God has revealed more things to me about an outline that I preached before. And God has touched somebody's life in some certain way. So for me as a pastor or as a preacher, preachers live in a glass house, basically. People are always looking at a preacher, or they're looking at a deacon, or they're looking at like a Sunday school teacher. They're looking at their life. You know why? Because they're waiting to see when they'll trip and fall. And then once a preacher falls, or once a preacher has something happen, or somebody that we see in a spiritual type position, once they fall, then you know what we see? The world points their fingers and they start to judge and condemn. You know, my grandma used to tell me, she used to say, you need to sweep your own front porch before you go sweep your neighbor's porch. And I asked her what she meant by that, because I was young and I didn't understand, because I was accusing somebody else of something. And she said, when you start ratting in on somebody else's business, you need to take care of your business first before you take care of theirs. She said, you've got things in your own life that you need to correct. Because she said, the things you're complaining about that person, I see you do the exact same thing. And I'm telling you what, the shame and the humiliation came on me. Well, and as a young man, as you know, I didn't understand because I wasn't a Christian. I didn't really understand. But it did make me look inside and see that I didn't want to be that way. I didn't want to be critical against other people. But God has called us to love one another. Now, when we get saved, there are two relationships that are formed. One is a sonship or a daughtership, and that's because we are children of God. This relationship deals with one side, the side of our salvation. All of our sins, past, present, and future, have been paid for by the shed blood of Jesus. So actually, you could look at this and say, this is kind of a judicial thing, because God is the judge, and you can actually kind of look at maybe Jesus as your attorney, because Jesus is representing you before the Father. He is your advocate. I read that here in verse chapter 2, verse 1, and I'll go halfway down. It says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So Jesus is basically telling the Father, I died on the cross. I shed my blood for them. They are cleansed and redeemed. So if we were looking at this as a judicial type thing, we could say that we are set free. We are not guilty because Christ paid the price. He gave His life for our sins, that we would live forever with Him in eternity if we just accept that free gift of salvation. And I tell you what, being a child of God, it's one of the greatest callings you could ever have in your life. When someone asks me, are you a Baptist or are you this? I go, no, I'm a child of God. And they go, well, wait a minute, you have to be Methodist or Pentecost. No, you don't. No, that's And I tell people the world has brought religion into this thing, but I said, my identity is in Christ. My mind's going to go on me here, but I'll get back to that in just a second. But when we are identified in Christ, we are called Christians. And so that's what I tell people. I am a Christian. And so I am a child of God, and I have a fellowship with the Lord that is a very sweet and a wonderful fellowship. And I want to be able to come into God's presence and lay my troubles and trials before Him and lay my burdens down, because when I do, when I sin and I come before God, I know that if I confess of my sin and ask God for forgiveness, that I am already been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And the Bible says that God will forgive our sins and He will cast them as far as the east is to the west, and He remembers our sins no more. But you know who remembers our sin? The enemy. And you know what the devil does? The devil will come at you as a child of God, and he will start to bring back to your memory. Now, he won't name your sins, but very vaguely, Satan will go, do you remember what you did yesterday? And then you say, oh no, I said something, or I acted a certain way, or maybe my attitude wasn't in the right place. And then all of a sudden, we start to beat ourselves up. And then we start to get defeated as children of God. We start to lose our little bit of edge. We start to lose our faith in some ways. And that's what will happen when we let Satan come into our life and invade our camp and destroy us. We have got to cling to God. We have got to get into His Word, and we have got to read it and study. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. And I tell you what, this morning I got up and I opened up 1 John and I was going over the Scriptures again. I've read this Scripture many a time, and I always get something new out of it. And it always excites me to see chapter 1, verse 9, that if I confess my sins, the Bible says He is faithful and just. Now see, God loves you and I more than our minds can comprehend. That's what being a child of God, that's why it's so wonderful. Because God loves us with a perfect love. God loves us with the love that I can't wrap my mind around it. I mean, as long as I'm in this physical body, I'll never understand it. I would never understand or figure out why Jesus would leave heaven and come and die for such a wretched sinner as I. Because it was humans that failed in the Garden of Eden. And it was their actions that caused them to get cast out of the garden. They fell into sin. Their fellowship with God was broken. And we know their fellowship with God was broken because what they thought was a secret sin, God already knew it, but they thought they were going to hide it from Him. Because if you go back and read in Genesis when they sinned, the Bible says Adam and Eve recognized, or they knew they were naked. And they went and took fig leaves and they made coverings to clothe themselves. And then they went and hid from God. And then you also read in Genesis that God was walking through the Garden of Eden, it says in the cool of the day, and He's calling out to His creation, where are you? And Adam and Eve hiding says, well, we're here, God. Where? And then they come out from where they're at, and see, God already knew what they had done. But they were cast out and their fellowship was broken. And the only way to restore that fellowship was to have a second Adam, who was Jesus. Jesus was perfect. He was the only man that walked on the face of this earth that knew no sin. He was perfect in every way. But when He went on the cross, He took our sin. Immortal became mortal so that you and I could live for eternity. And we need to just focus on that. God didn't have to do that. Jesus could have called 10,000 angels to come and take him off the cross. But because his love for you and I was so great and so powerful, he stayed there until he said, "It is finished." And hallelujah, on the third day he rose from the grave, and Jesus is alive today. So in our fellowship with God, if we sin, we break that fellowship. But if we confess our sin and ask for forgiveness and we recommit to the Lord, our fellowship, it is renewed. Our minds are renewed daily when we ask God to do that. Our lives are being touched. We are growing. We are learning every day. We're not perfect. So we're going to fall and we are going to fail. But God wants us to be strengthened by His power and live according to His Word. And I've heard people say, "Now that's too hard." No, it's not. To me, I've had people say it's easier for me to be down and depressed. And I'm like, well, why would you want to be that way? Why would you want to live in the world and end up with nothing when you can live for Christ and have everything you could ever imagine in the kingdom of heaven? Once we are saved, God deals with our sin not as a judge, but as our Father. Do you remember what your father would do when you did wrong? Your father dealt with you as a father. He didn't deal with you as a judge. He didn't throw you in jail for a week and feed you cornbread and water. He didn't do anything like that. He let you know, I'm sure your dad, you know, let you know what you did wrong. And he punished you for what you did wrong, but you always knew your father loved you, didn't you? You knew your father wanted good things for you. Sometimes we thought dad was a little bit mean. Sometimes there was times I thought my dad was just, but it was me. And my dad had to get me back in alignment. And sometimes that paddle, it put you back in line real fast. It'd make you see stars sometimes also. But our Father, our Heavenly Father, loves us more than that. He has an understanding because, see, when His Son took our sins upon Him, it was too much for God to even look at. That's why it grew dark. And Jesus cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Because God couldn't stand to see His perfect and only Son bearing the sins of the world upon his own life, dying for them. He became sin on the cross so that we would be free when we accepted Jesus Christ. Now I'm telling you, friends, that's the greatest gift I could ever receive. That's why I tell people I celebrate Christmas all the time. I tell them every day I get a gift. I get a new day of eternal life. I get a new day to fellowship with the Lord. I get a new day to pray. I get a new day to read His Word, to witness, to do whatever He wants me to do. I get a new day. And when I get that day, I'm so thankful for it. And you know what? I don't ever want to be the type of a Christian that I disobey God and miss out on the blessings that He has for me. The conviction of sin, 1 John verses 5 through 7. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. See, you can't be a Christian and serve the devil. If you become a Christian, you need to send the devil his divorce papers. And you need to tell the devil this relationship is over. Because the devil will give you nothing. The devil is a liar. He is a deceiver. And I was reading in Revelations this morning that after Satan has been bound for 1,000 years, after the judgment, he is cast into a lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. He's a loser. I mean, he was dumb enough to get himself kicked out of heaven because he thought he was going to elevate himself up above God. He wanted everybody to praise him instead of God. And Satan fell, and a third of the angels followed him and went with him. And they'll be cast into a lake of fire to burn forever, to be tormented. And Satan is deceiving people left and right to pull them away from God's fellowship. And if Satan can do that in somebody's life, then he's got them. And for what? Nothing. We're going to go through difficult times in this life. We're going to face sickness. We're going to face pain. We're going to face financial difficulties. We're going to go through family issues. We're going to go through church issues. Do you know that? Oh, it happens all over. As long as the devil is running rampant, there's going to be problems. But you and I, if we walk in fellowship, as I just read to you, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with Christ and with one another. And I'm glad I've got fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. The devil has nothing for me, so I'm not going to give him the time of day. Yesterday, you talk about fellowship. We were heading down to Paducah for our eye exams and get our glasses and stuff. And when we got down there, and this is a Christian place we went to. It's called Success Vision in Paducah. They're Christian based, and I mean they were just wonderful to us. And we sat there and we fellowshipped back and forth with one another and talked about how good God was. And a man and his wife came in, and the guy had long hair and a long beard, and he had tattoos all over. But he had a shirt on that said United States Marine Corps. And I asked him, "Did you by chance serve in the Marines?" He said, "Yes, I did." I said, "Sir, thank you for your service." He said, "Thank you for that. I appreciate it." And we talked back and forth with this couple for a bit and talked about how good God was. And every time we talked about how good God was, my heart just kept growing and getting more excited. And when we got our glasses fit, they said, "Your glasses will be done in a couple hours." So we left and went to Cracker Barrel and we had lunch. And then we went into the store part and we started having fellowship with three employees there that were Christians. And out of that, we got the biggest blessing. The manager said, "I'm going to give you guys my discount code." Now that stuff's already on sale, but I'm going to give you my discount code and give you even more off. And I thought, "Thank you, Lord, for that blessing." And then as we're walking out, there was a gentleman sitting in a rocking chair with the cane, and he was sitting there just relaxed. And I just looked at him, and the Lord said, "Speak to him." And I said, "Sir, is that chair comfortable?" He goes, "You know, it sure is." And we got to talking about how good the Lord was. And then all of a sudden, his wife walked out, and she said hi to us, and she sat down in a chair, and then we started fellowshipping with them. And the love of the Lord was just abounding out of our hearts. And I found out this woman and her husband were from Chicago originally. They live in Champaign. She does a ministry on YouTube every Tuesday. And it's called Terrific Tuesday. Her name is Minnie Stevenson. And she said, "Brother Jim, I want you to be on our program on a Tuesday." And I want you to be able to, people will call in and ask questions. And then she said, I also have a radio program I do as well. And I'd like for you to come to Champaign sometime and be on the radio. I didn't expect all that. But see, when we're in fellowship with God, these are the things that can happen. These are blessings. And I didn't mean to waste, you know, time, but I wanted to share that those stories because this is what God wants for us. See, God wants us to walk in fellowship. And I love coming here on Sunday. And I love saying hi to everybody and seeing your smiles and the hellos and the handshakes and hugs, whatever it may be, or if it's a fist bump, whatever. I love the fellowship. And when I get out of bed, I'm just like, it's only 6 o'clock. And then finally, before I know it, it's 9:30 or so and I'm leaving home and on the way. But I have fellowship with my wife. I have fellowship here. I have fellowship wherever I go because I love people. And I want, now, not everybody's going to love me in return, but that's okay. I'll pray for them and I'll give them to the Lord because He'll deal with them. But what I want you to get out of the message this morning, out of hindered fellowship, is our fellowship can be broken if we choose to walk in unrighteousness. And I just read it in God's Word that if we walk in the light, or if we say that we walk in the light, but we're walking in darkness, and we say Christ lives within us, we're liars. Because if we say we're a light, but we're walking in darkness, that can't happen. If we're light, we walk in the light. Because the Bible says, in God, in Christ Jesus, there is no darkness. They are light. They are love. They are perfect. Now, God's not asking us to be perfect, but God is asking us to walk by His Word, and God is asking us to obey His Word. So that means we've got to turn off the gossip machine. We've got to turn off the little white lies, we call them, because it's sin. We've got to quit condemning folks. We've got to quit having all the what I call the wayward mess in a lot of our lives. We got to get all rid of all that. And we've got to come to Christ and say, Lord, I need You to fill me with Your love and Your power. And I need You to show me how to love the unlovable. Because I'm telling you what, there are some people out there who, and I'm just going to say it as a human, they make you want to bite through nails. But I pray for them. There are people who are angry and will treat you bad. But the Bible says if we love them, if we do good things to those that don't like us, then we're going to heap coals of fire up on top of their head. I remember in school, there was a bully, and this kid didn't like me for nothing. I wasn't afraid of him, but I couldn't figure out. I thought, what did I do to this guy? And one day I thought, well, I'll do something nice. My mom suggested, well, you've got a bunch of cars. Maybe he doesn't have any Hot Wheel cars. And we were in grade school, and this kid used to wait for me after school every day. He was going to beat me up. And I used to just walk across and say, I ain't afraid of you. I just tell him, I ain't afraid of you. But I don't know why you hate me so bad. Well, come to find out, it wasn't me. It was his own heart. But I remember the one day I took one of my Hot Wheel cars, and then I went back in my room and thought, no, there's another one I'll give him. And I took two Hot Wheel cars, and after school that day, I walked across that crosswalk, and there he was waiting as usual. And I walked over, and I said, look, I don't know why you don't like me, but I just want to be your friend is all. That's all I want. And I said, here, if you'd be my friend, this is what I want to give you is a couple of my Hot Wheel cars. That just, you know, giving love. And all of a sudden, he looked at those two cars and he looked at me And he looked at those cars again and looked at me and he goes, "Wow, thank you." He goes, "I'd like to be your friend too." Wow. What a little, how far a little love can go.